It is. It's really good. It's fantastic. God is good. Well, good morning, everyone. It's really great to be here. Great to be sharing with you this morning. I can see all you happy young jelly beans here, all different sizes, all different colours. You all make a wonderful community, don't you? A community of believers. Okay, I'm going to share a story, and it's a story out of the Bible. Should we just pray first? Can we do that? Oh, Heavenly Father, you are so good. Lord, you are wonderful. Lord, really, you are magnificent. Lord, you're so gracious. You're so kind. Lord, you're just so beautiful. Lord, we pray today that, Father God, just your beauty, Lord, your holiness, your loving kindness, Lord, to be extended to everybody, Father God. Lord, that we'll see something, Father God, of your heart and your mind here, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this story is a story in the Gospel of John. It's in chapter 4. And verse 4. But before I read that, I'm a little bit silly. You can expect the unexpected with me sometimes. Have you ever done silly things with God, like try to hide something from Him? No, like, yeah, Lord, I've got a marble. Which hand is it in? Do you ever do silly things like that? I do. So, you know, you hide it. You go, okay, Lord, where is it? It goes in your left hand. You go, God, how did you know? Then you go, okay, I'm going to trick him. So, you hide it and you play around with it. You go, okay. Okay, where is it? What's it need that? It's in your pocket. My back pocket. God knows everything. You can't hide anything from God. He sees everything and he knows everything. Okay? Told you I was a little bit crazy. So this story in the Gospel of John, it's about a beautiful man, a beautiful woman. And this beautiful man is Jesus. And he's in Galilee and he's heading to Samaria. And so he walks he's walking with his disciples all the way to Samaria. And eventually he gets to Samaria, gets to this little Samaritan town, and it's called Sychar. And he walks by this field, and there's this well. And he goes and he sits beside the well, and he tells his disciples, you guys head on into town, go get some food, and, come back. So from Galilee to where he walked is 52 kilometres. Jesus was very tired and he was very weary. And he's sitting by the well. And then along comes this Samaritan woman who, with her bucket, she comes to draw water from the well. And Jesus says to her, can you please give me a drink? And the woman's kind of surprised and shocked. Boy, you're a Jewish man. You're talking to me. That is unheard of. Why would you be talking to me? And the woman says to him, sure. Jesus interacts with her some more, and says to her, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water. For my water. And she says to him, well, you haven't even got a bucket with you. And this is Jacob's well we've been drinking out of this for years and been feeding animals out of this for years and years and years. You've got nothing. She says, but the water that I have is water that is of everlasting life. You can drink all of that in the well. You'll continue to be hungry and you'll continue to be thirsty. Jesus continues to interact with her And says, but the water that I have, you will never thirst again, and you will be fulfilled. Then they began to chat more about the temple, about Jerusalem. And she says to him, you know, we're waiting for the Messiah. And when he comes, he's going to bring all these things to pass. And he says to her, well, I am the Messiah. And she says, well, give me this water. He says to her, well, go and get your husband. Go and get your husband. She says, I've been married 5 times, but I don't have a husband. And he says, well, you're right. I'm glad you're being truthful with me. But I know that you live with a man. And she says, are you a prophet? And they continue this conversation on. And she's like, wow, is this him? Is this the Messiah? Is this the Son of God? So she takes off. She heads off into the village. Now, this woman was married 5 times. So there's a picture here. There's a story here that speaks to us of a woman who is looking for some sort of satisfaction in life. And she never found it in her husband. Husband number one, husband number two, number three, number four, and number five, she gave up. So if you're married here today, don't expect to be satisfied by your husband or your wife. Be satisfied. We must first come and be satisfied in our relationship with Jesus Christ. His life, his love for us, is what will fulfill us and will keep us going. That is what will do it for you and I. If we think that it's in relationships, well, that's part of it. Okay? If you're single and you think that when you're married, that's it, well, let me tell you, it's not. That's only a part of the puzzle. That's only a part of life. But true satisfaction, fulfillment, you're going to find in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and none other. That's it. Amen? So, this woman, like you and I, needed more. So if you want to have a look at this, not right now, but John chapter 4, verse 5 to verse 14. Have a look at that in your own time. About 2 weeks ago, we had a gentleman who came to our Friday lunch here. And for a couple of weeks before that, I'll just give you a bit of background. He'd been coming to Port Kerr with a carer who'd been helping him, and he'd suffered a serious injury and been coming to Port Kerr. And I'd been inviting him to our Friday service. And so every time, look, I'll pick you up. I'll ring him on the... He'd say, yes, I'm coming on the Friday morning. I'd call him and, I can't make it today, or, you know. So in the end, I gave up. I thought, okay, it's fine. Doesn't want to come. It's cool. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, he rocks up on a Friday. He's late and enjoyed the day. Thought it was great. He had his carer with him. And it was time to go. He said to the carer, no, I'm not going. We finish at 1:30. The carer had to be gone by like 1:15. Because now I'm enjoying this, I'm staying. So we said, okay, we'll organise a lift for you home. So he's really enjoyed the afternoon. 1:30 we finish. 2:00 I had an appointment. I was meeting somebody at Port Kerr. So I've finished here. You know, the team are still going here till 2:00, 2:30. And I've got to go up and see Lisa and organise some things with her, our bookkeeper, our accountant. And then I've got to head to Port Kerr to meet somebody. So by the time, and I said, the last resort, I'll give him a lift home. So don't worry, you know. So I come downstairs and he's here waiting for me. So I go, come on, let's go. So we get in the car, I'm in a rush, and I cross the road in the car, and he says, "Oh, can we stop at the shops? I want to get a pack of cigarettes." I'm like, "Oh, you are kidding me." At this time, I felt like I was so frustrated. He couldn't tell. No, you can't tell what I'm... Only some people can. I was so frustrated. I wanted to open the door and drive him off at the bus stop. I'm actually being nice to you. I really wanted to open the door and just go, "See you later." So I thought, okay, come back to Port Kerry with me, then I'll take you to the shops and I'll take you home. So we're heading down the road, then we're heading down Lefroy Road, and he goes, "I'm sorry to be a pain in the, be a pain in the butt to you." I go, "That's okay, you're not." And I said, "Hey, we're going to pull in here and we're going to get you cigarettes." We pulled into Lefroy Road, the shop's there. I just took a breath. I thought, "Oh, just chill, mate. Just chill." He goes in, gets his cigarettes. He comes out. And so I'm going to take you home. So on his way home, he just starts to open up to me. And he says to me, "Yeah, I've got this Kerry, I tried to take my life." And, I'm like, "What? Why would you want to take your life?" "Well, because of, he had this accident, serious accident, really damaged him. He's not paralyzed, but really damaged him." I says, "Hey, And so I talked to him about some options, things he can do in the community because he loves wood. And so I'm listening to him and I'm chatting with him. And eventually get to his home, park out outside the parking bay there. He starts to tell me more about when he was a child and there was sexual abuse as a child. So just listening. Okay, just talked. "I'm really sorry that all this happened." Just chatted. And I said to him, "Look, would you like me to pray for her?" He goes, "I would love you to pray for me." And so I prayed with him, and then I said, "Look, would you like to pray this prayer with me? It's about inviting Jesus Christ into your life." "Yeah, okay." So we pray this prayer. "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins." We get to "Lord, forgive me of my sins." He goes, "I've done some pretty bad things." You know when you're in the middle of a prayer, it's kind of, I've done some pretty bad things. I go, "It's okay, Jesus forgives everything. Just ask him to forgive you." He goes, "But I've done some really dark things." I go, "Look, nothing is too bad that God cannot forgive you." Okay, so we prayed. And just prayed God's blessing upon him. And I saw him during the week. He was really quite in a really good frame of mind. He was doing really well. And so when I left him, I drove out and I'm driving and I pulled over and I just thought, "Lord, don't ever let me be too busy. Help me, God, just to never be too busy for people." And I was almost like in an awe. I was awestruck because I just wanted to soak this in. And I'm kind of driving like at 5 kilometres an hour, just going, "Oh, God. Oh, God." Because that's what it's really about. It's about people. It's about our community. It's about you. It's about people enjoying their best life and following Christ. We've been doing our theme here, which is, what are we here for? What am I here for? Why are you here on this planet? Why are you here? What is my purpose? What is God's plan for me? What am I here for? What a really good, it's quite a loaded question. There's a lot of things. We're here to bring, honour. We're here to bring glory and honour to God. And we do that in everything that we do, being generous with everything. So, Dave, can we have a look at John chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, please? David, did I call you Dave or John? David, okay. Then Jesus spoke up and said, "My food is to be doing the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion." As the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at the people coming. Now is harvest time, for the hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a spiritual harvest." What am I here for? We have a harvest field. The harvest field has always been here since Jesus rose from the dead. It's not in 2 months' time, but it's now. It's where you are is where your harvest field is. It's time for harvesting. It's also time for sowing. It's time for reaping. It's a time for all of that. And so what am I here for? What are we here for? That is what we're here for. Now, I know that, you know, we may not all be in full-time ministry. We may not all be in full-time ministry, but we are all full-time ministers. Yeah? To your children. You're a minister to your children. You're a minister to your neighbor. You're a minister to those that you work with. So you may not always be in full-time ministry, but you are a full-time minister. Yeah? Yeah, absolutely. Everyone can know God's love. We've got to see that everybody can know God's love. Everyone can be forgiven. Now, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Before Jesus, like Greg said this morning, they sacrificed animals. They had with the shedding of blood. They sacrificed animals. But they had to be animals that were not with broken bones, because what you offered up to God had to be the best, your best crop, your best lamb, your best cattle. No second best. So when we offer out, and now when we offer ourselves to God for his service, we're going to give him our best. So before in the Old Testament, the sins were covered. People weren't cleansed from their sin. They were just covered. But when the Lamb of God came, he came, and now you're forgiven, you're cleansed. Now you can have a personal relationship with the living God. When Jesus had this discussion with the woman at the well, this is one of the things they chatted about. She talked about worshipping in Jerusalem, and he said, "Well, things are going to be changing. You'll be worshipping God in your heart, in your home. Wherever you are, you can worship God in spirit and in truth." So, the harvest field is ready. So, everyone can know God's love. Everyone can be forgiven. Everyone can be changed. And everyone can be an agent of change. Everyone can live and die with purpose. You want to be intentional in this life, don't you? You want to be purposeful. The gospel story is for everyone, and we are the carriers of living water. We point people to Jesus. We're here to bring heaven to earth. It's not just about dying and going to heaven, but it's about bringing heaven to that person wherever they are at. That time I had in that car with that man, I brought heaven to him. I brought the kingdom of heaven to him. For many of us here that know the Lord, we have that peace, we have that joy. Don't we? Let's share that. What are we here for? That is one thing that we are here for. Now, we have within us resurrection life. We have this living water within us. And I know that sometimes what happens is there's things that block this up. The worries of the world. What am I talking about? Okay. We worry about our mortgage. We worry about getting the next brand new car. We worry about just so many silly things. I had a couple. I just happened to ring them because I had a missed call from them the day before. I rang them Friday morning. Oh, hi, I had a missed call from Mr. How you doing? I know who they are. They're in our community. Oh, my car's just got a puncture in my car. My right tire's flat. This one's got a puncture. It was like the end of the world. Seriously, it was like the end of the world. And so, where are you? I'm in Cardinia. I'm outside my car. There's a tire shop there. I've got no money. Okay. I'll sort it out for you. Stay there. Stay there. It's very easy, very simple. Stay there. Answer your phone, I'll call you back. Answer the phone, I'll call you back. Okay. I ring my car because I'm going to pay for it over the phone. Okay. Yep. Yes, we know them. They're outside by the car. Yep. Okay, look, I'm going to pay for their tire. Can we get this sorted? How much is it? Yep, okay. Because we can't do it till Monday. You can't do it till Monday. Okay. All right, let me get back to you. So, see you later. Bye. So, I'm thinking, do they know they can't do it till Monday? So, I ring them. They don't answer their phone. And so, you know, this is what kind of people you deal with. You don't know. Friday afternoon, I'm telling you, Friday afternoon, I'm in the shop at Paul Care. And I'm talking to myself. Katie and Keelan are there, they can hear me. And I'm going, it's okay, I'm not talking to you, I'm just talking to myself. I'm just debriefing. And Katie goes, yeah, she goes, I do that all the time. And Keelan goes, yeah, I do that all the time too. And I thought, gee, I only do it every now and then. Are you guys, are you okay? What's going on? Who am I working with? You know. Anyway, so I've got a connection with a guy who does tires and who does mobile. So I ring him and I get it all sorted, get it all paid for, and I ring them. They're still not answering their phone. Ringing. You look at my phone, I've got about 13 missed that where they haven't answered. 13 red. And I am so, it's just so simple. It's a simple task. It's really not difficult. Then eventually I get this call from my car, and it's the guy, not the guy, but the guy that's the other half owner of the car. Yeah, Charlie, it's me. Such and such, she's just, I don't know where she is. She's lost it. She's upset about the tire and, you know, rah, rah, rah. I go, mate, I said to you, I'll sort it out for you. Just stay put, stay calm. I'm really worried about her. I don't know. Okay, all right. Listen, there's a guy going to come and he's going to change the wheel. Did you know that they can't change the tire for you till Monday? Oh, okay. But I've got a mobile tire man coming to do it for you, okay? Yep, okay. What are you doing now? He goes, oh, I'm going to go look for it. I go, no, stay in the office there so I can call you back and give you some more details about the time they're going to get there. Yep, okay, all right, great. So we've got it all sorted. Neil messaged me, he said, Charlie, they're going to be about 40 minutes. I ring my car, I ring the office. I talked to the guy. I said, look, mate, is Mike there? He goes, nah, he's gone. I says, look, mate, we can't do business today because your tire's coming Monday. I'm really sorry, but I have to get this mobile guy to do it. He goes, yeah, that's okay, mate. I understand. I go, believe me, this is the best thing for you. And so anyway, we eventually, about an hour later, I get a call, you know, this girl's crying and you know, it's the end of the world. Please. Please. Sometimes things do get messy with people. Sometimes they do. Thank God for His grace. We do deal with a lot of broken people, you know, and I heard this really good thing the other day, which was, you know, we're all broken. I'm broken. If you spend enough time with me, you'll see my imperfections. But I lean on God, you know. I lean on Jesus. He makes up the difference for me, you know. And so we're all broken vessels and we're all, you know. And so let's love God. So I know things get in the way, okay? Things get in the way. But please, give God your very best. Give God your very best. And sometimes in that world that in us, there's things that are there. Oh, God. Can I have the music team up, please? Thank you. There are times, there are things that get in the way of the world that's within us. The cares, lots of different cares, lots of different things. And we put God in the attic. When we need Him, we just call on Him. Help! Well, don't do that. You've got to get to know God every day. You've got to get to know God in all the good times. Because when the hard times come, you know, He's got me. Because He's had me all here. You're all there and He's had you, you know. And you hit a hard time and you're still with Him and He's letting you know, hey, you're going to be okay. You're going through a trial, you're going through a tribulation. I'm here. I've got you. So let's refocus. Let's refocus. See Him. No one is beyond redemption. We have to stop, look, and listen. Sometimes we've got to sacrifice time for others. Let's just do it. We all have a God-given purpose. I'm just going to finish with this story, okay? And 3 years ago, I cycled with these guys, some from church, some that aren't in church. And we cycled at the John Forrest National Park. It's called the Heritage Trail. And it's an abandoned railway track. And so what someone had a vision to restore this into a trail where you can walk along, you can ride on it. There's cafes, there's shops in different areas. Because it goes through suburbia as well. There's even the old platforms of the train station where you used to be able to get on all those wooden things from all us young people can remember. It's really, really quite beautiful. It's really amazing. Someone had a vision for that. It was discarded. There's this beautiful, there's this tunnel that we rode through. It was pitch black, black as black. And that was really, really good fun. And so like there are lives that are discarded and sometimes we think, no, there's no hope, there's nothing for them. You know, let me tell you, there is restoration. There is redemption for everybody. And for us, those of us that know the Lord, love God and love our community, we can bring people back on to these tracks so that they can enjoy. There was beautiful sculptures along the way, amazing sculptures, little parks where kids come and are running around. Then there's just the forest, which is amazing. Then there's water. So God does want us all to have our best life. God wants us to have abundant life. Maybe you're struggling in your walk with God. Maybe you've just lost your focus. Well, God is here and He wants to minister to you this morning. He wants to touch your life. Maybe there are some burdens that you're carrying that are really, really heavy. Hey, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Let's stand up. So I'd just like to give an opportunity for people. If you want some prayer, please come out while the muses are playing. And be only too willing and happy to pray for you. But I also want to just ask if there's anybody here, and you could be like that woman. There's something you are just not satisfied with life. You are not satisfied. You are just, there's this big gaping hole inside of you that is like there is something missing. You've tried this, you've done that, but nothing has been successful. Nothing has quenched that thirst for life. May I present to you this morning that Jesus can feel that for you today. And when you come to Him, He only wants to give to you blessing and favor. He wants to fill you with His presence. And when you leave here, let me tell you, He'll be with you. He'll be in front of you, behind you, beside you, in you. He'll be there when you're sleeping. He'll be there when you wake up. So I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your life, I would like you to pray this prayer with me. But I would also like to pray for you after. I'd like to see you, and I'll ask you to acknowledge that in a moment. This is the prayer. Pray this with me, church. Heavenly Father, today, I come to you. Forgive me of all my sins, the most darkest sin. Cleanse me with your precious blood. In Jesus' name. Thank you that you call me your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that was you and you prayed that for the first time or the second time, or you knew God many years ago, but you've come back, can you just pop your hand up and then put it down just so I can see you? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Anybody else? Anyone else? Okay. Okay. Those two of you, if you're comfortable, can you come out here, please, so I can pray with you? Are you okay with that? Come on out. Let me pray with you. So the music team is going to play. And if anyone else would like any prayer for anything else, I feel like there's people carrying some burdens here that are really heavy. Really heavy. So you come on out. If you just need some prayer, of encouragement, you come. Helen is here. Greg is here. Stephen is here. We're all part of the team here at C3 Fremantle and Wellard. And we're only too happy to just spend some time with you and invest in you. Okay, so you come as the music team are playing. And for those of you that would like to go, please help yourself out outside with the coffee. If you're a visitor, go and see the cafe team and they will organize that for you. Okay? Wonderful.